Please turn to Psalm 119. We will finish some thoughts on the first eight verses of Psalm 119 that we've been looking at on Wednesday nights, thinking about God's word, this acrostic, taking all except one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet and putting eight lines for each part. I'm going to read this first section, verses 1 through 8. Psalm 119. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We pray you would write it upon our hearts, even through this opportunity to study it tonight. You would guide our thoughts. You would make us more like Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. You remember the first psalm, Psalm 1, says, blessed is the man who walks not, and it says all these things that he ought not do, but blessed is him whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And then in Psalm 19, which a year or so ago we covered over the course of a couple of Sundays, it tells us about God's word that the law of the Lord revives the soul, makes wise the simple, rejoices the heart, enlightens the eyes. Well, here in Psalm 119, we have, well, as Franz Delitzsch, a conservative German commentator from the past, he said, here in Psalm 119, as a whole, we have set forth in inexhaustible fullness what the word of God is to man and how a man is to behave himself in relation to it. I can't help think of some of the prayers we just heard prayed. It was as if this was being prayed just a moment ago during our evening prayer, that it is the word of God that shows us who God is to us and how we ought to actually, yes, behave or conduct ourselves in relation to it. But really we see the flowering of that delight of Psalm 1, delighting in the law of the Lord, being blessed. So that's how I want to start. And again, I've already covered some of these on a Wednesday night. We're going to cover a few verses here. But first, I want us to think about in the first three verses, that walking in the Word results in blessing. Blessed are those, verse 1, and then verse 2, blessed are those. Now we all, you know, again, I have to make define the terms here. In the Bible, when it says blessed, it means happy. You know, some of the translations of, for example, the Beatitudes, where we say, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. It says happy are those, because in biblical terms, being blessed is being happy. And so we can say all human beings want to be happy, don't we? I mean, that's part of being, you know, an ordinary or being normal, being a human who's thinking rightly. We want to be happy, and so we'll use various ways of trying to be happy or to find blessing in this life. People will seek blessing through money or happiness through money. And right, it's never quite enough, is it? Or through possessions. But once we get one possession, we want another one. Or through notoriety. We can seek happiness through a spouse. And though there is happiness there, that isn't where ultimate happiness is, if we're seeking a spouse or even having children or a good job. All of these things are good and right, and God, they're blessings of God, but they can't bring ultimate happiness. You know, Tom Brady is the quarterback for the New England Patriots. He has won 5 Super Bowls, and he's played in 3 others. So he's played in 8 Super Bowls. After he won his 3rd one, he was on 60 Minutes. And it's a famous interview, and you can find these little clips of this interview. He says, "I figure there has to be more than this." And the interviewer on 60 Minutes says, "Well, what is it?" He says, "I don't know." And there's actually an open letter on Athletes in Action that I found when I was looking this back up again, where here as he was about to, actually last year after he won his 5th Super Bowl, a Christian writes a little letter to him saying, "Here's where happiness is." And it's where this psalm is showing us. Blessed, what are those who are blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek after him with their whole heart. Walking in the Lord is where we find blessing. Plus, you know, thinking of those other things, the gifts of God that are good in and of themselves, material possessions, relationships, whatever it is, our sin, which we always bring with us, always warps our attempts at achievements, our attempts at happiness. Sin is always there coming with us, bringing difficulty into these things where we try to be happy. And so happiness, blessing, is in keeping God's word. And that's what Psalm 19 gives us a sense of. He finishes this little section, the first 3 verses, "who also do no wrong, but who walk in his ways." Those of us who've learned, who've studied God's word, and he's more and more writing it on our hearts. We're not just studying it to talk about it, but to live it. Not just so we can, you know, make interesting statements about it and interesting thoughts about it, but that it becomes our way of life, keeping these precepts. Blessedness, biblically, is happiness. And so we receive happiness in this life through our conforming. But conforming how? To the law of God. Let me just say here, I've sort of tried to define happiness, blessedness, happiness. There's also this, I need to be fair, when we hear we're going to be happy by walking in the law of God. That's what verse 1 says, in the law of God. Now we have to realize there are specific things of law, like in our day. Laws tend to be restrictive. Taxes, you know, laws on taxes that to take a little bit extra of our money each time we buy something. Or laws of the environment, what we can or can't do outside, or even how many fish we can catch at a particular, or in terms of hunting, or traffic, how fast we can go. There's all these restrictions. And God's law includes restrictions, what we ought not do. You shall not commit murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not bear false witness. But really, when it's talking about God's law here, it's talking about all the different things. We've already talked about all of these words, his precepts, his commands, his rules, his statutes. The overall, it's a worldview, a way of thinking about life, a pattern. A pattern, a map. And we follow this map. We're preparing ourselves for heaven. Training. This is our training ground for eternity. We only have a very short time. And this short time here on earth is our training ground for heaven. And so he says, blessed are those who walk in his ways. Walking in the word results in blessing. Well, I want to say secondly tonight, the blessing of obedience then itself grows this even more as it results in new motivation and determination. Verse 2b, who seek him with all their heart. I would suggest that as this builds, this blessing drives us to seek him even more, to seek him with all that we are, with our whole heart. Our heart is our inner being. It's that control center of who we are. with our whole person, with our mind, with our soul, with our heart, with our strength. That sounds familiar. We're called to love God that way, aren't we? And so we have a new motivation and determination. He closes out this stanza with verse 8, sort of bringing this home. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. It seems to me part of the blessing of seeking after God's word is he gives us a new appetite. He starts to take away that appetite for worldliness, for worldly sensuality, for, well, some of those very things I mentioned, for that our appetite isn't for money and spiritual possessions, but with an appetite for the Lord, we can then use money and physical possessions, material, but we can use money and material possessions for God's glory, even our relationships as our appetite, as our motivation and determination for the Lord grows, our appetites change for the better. From the world and the flesh and the devil, they turn toward him. So he makes this statement in verse 8, I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. Well, Jim Boyce suggests that here in this last, or in verse 8, he's making a strong resolution, a sincere confession, and an urgent plea. A strong resolution, a sincere confession, and an urgent plea. And that's how those two statements go together. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. So here's the strong resolution. I will keep your statutes. Nothing wrong with a Christian making that resolution. Lord, you're the God who made me. We've sung to him. We've prayed to him tonight. I am resolved as you work. Well, actually, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm resolved to keep your decrees. But there's a part in between the 8a and 8b. And that is the confession. I cannot obey God's decrees unless God enables me to do it. I can't obey God's decrees unless he enables me to do it. And so there comes our plea. Do not utterly forsake me. You catch that? Lord, I want to do everything you've told me to do. And I want to not do the things you've told me not to do. But I need your help to do it. And I need your help not to do it. So don't forsake me. And Christ tells us this. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And interestingly, in the book of Hebrews, in a little section where he's talking about our contentment, being content with what he gives us, he reminds us of that truth of the Lord that he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so this is a prayer that, Lord, as I seek to be obedient, that you, O Lord, will be with me. And so there is walking in the word results in blessing. The blessing of biblical obedience results in a new motivation and determination. And so finally, praying this word, and I think there's a prayerful spirit to this, really to this whole psalm. Praying the word results in sure identity and purpose. So I want to finish by thinking about verse 6. Again, thinking about this whole idea of walking in his word. If I'm walking in your word, verse 6, then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I won't be put to shame because my eyes are fixed on your commandments. You remember, we were told in the first chapters of Genesis, our first parents were naked and unashamed. They hadn't sinned. They were in perfect harmony with one another and with God. They were unashamed. As soon as they sinned, what did they do? They felt shame. They hid from God. It's so sad as every time we read it, we feel the pain that the God, our Father, came to walk with them in the garden in the cool of the day, and they're hiding in shame. Well, he's telling us we don't have to have that shame as we're walking in his ways. We don't have that shame. Well, you know what? I thought about this. I thought, you know, I'm supposed to preach the gospel. Can I preach the gospel from Psalm 119, 1 through 8? And I think there's two aspects of the gospel that I want to mention tonight. One I'll say now and one I'll say in just a moment or two when I close. What did God do for them when they were naked and ashamed, hiding? They had tried to do fig leaves, but our Lord took some skins. He had to kill some animals so he could cover them. There was God's grace. There was God's grace. He covered their shame. Even then, pointing forward to the covering we would eventually have in Christ's righteousness. But you know, again, I think I've tried to say lately in more than one occasion, shame does, you know, have a place used rightly. We live in a culture that, as the Bible points out, Isaiah talked about it, you've forgotten how to blush. So used rightly, feeling ashamed for our sin and then running to Christ is actually a good thing. In fact, John would pick up on this in 1 John 3, 19 and following. He said, "By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him." He's talking about the kind of the conscience. Imagine the heart using the word conscience. "For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him." So John is using this same imagery from this psalm. Our conscience or our heart condemns us because we're doing wrong. And yet when we make corrections, we keep his commandments, we do what pleases him. We ask and we receive. We have confidence. That little section of John closes, "Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us." This isn't telling us to keep God's word or to keep his laws and his commands by our own ability. He's saying your Spirit, his Spirit whom he has given us, with that Spirit abiding in us, we can keep his commandments as we abide in God and as God abides in us. Charles Spurgeon applied this. Listen how he applies this, this particular verse 6. "Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on your commandments. An abiding sense of duty will make us bold. We are afraid to be afraid. No shame in the presence of man will hinder us when the fear of God has taken full possession of our minds. When we are on the king's highway by daylight and we are engaged upon royal business, we need ask no man's leave." So he's saying when we're filled up with God, when his law is our map that's leading us through the day, when we come up against men and women who are against us, we don't fear them. We have the fear of God, having full possession of our minds, of our hearts, of our souls. We're doing God's business, and we're doing it in the day. We have nothing to fear. We have nothing to be ashamed of, because God's word is our guide. It's that lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. We've hidden it in our hearts that we may not sin against us. In fact, this is sanctification is happening. We're being renewed more and more after the image of God. His word is at work in us. And so we can live more abundant lives. We can learn to pray more effectively. We can walk in God's will as we meditate on his word, as we even memorize it. We can pray as we walk day by day on the journey that he's put each of us on here in this life. Before I close, I want to say one more aspect of the gospel that we have here. And that was, again, in 1 John. I skipped one verse, so I want to close with this one. 1 John 3. Again, I was in 1 John 3, 19 through 24, but I skipped this one. And I want to close with this one because it brings all of this home. Verse 23 in 1 John 3. "And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just just as he has commanded us. See, that's the commandment that comes first. Believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. If we've believed in the name of his Son, Jesus, if we've called on him, as our call to worship said, that only name given under heaven by which we must be saved, then with him dwelling within us, we can delight ourselves in the Lord, and he'll give us the desires of our heart. Keeping our eyes fixed on him, delighting in his word, we can indeed walk in passive righteousness for his name's sake. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I do pray that you will take what may be seem a little abstract concepts of your law. Lord, please have mercy on us this night and give each of us the understanding we need to apply this by your Spirit into our lives, that we may be those who do delight in your law and who walk in it and who are happy because of it. We thank you, Jesus, and we pray in your name. Amen. I didn't think of it till that last verse. This is the song to follow. As you, therefore, seek to trust and obey and to be happy in Jesus, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.